Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hillside Church Podcast. We believe God loves you, your past doesn't define you, and that God has good days ahead. Thanks for listening to the sermon. Our hope is that it equips you, inspires you, and encourages you in your faith.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. I hope that you're doing well. Could we celebrate those visiting for the first time, those online with us as well? Man, so good to have you here. Special shout out to those of you online. Really good to have you as well. And man, just excited about continuing a series. If it is your first time, usually you can find our Sunday morning sermons within what we call a sermon series, like a direction that encourages us, equips us, and empowers us in our relationship with God. And so you are smack dab in the middle of a series we've called How to Church. How to Church. Like, we want to keep it simple for you, but I have shared every Sunday that though this is simple, the goal is consistency. And so if in any one of these 5 weeks as we journey through, you notice an area to strengthen, I want to encourage you to do so. I have found, personally speaking, that when these five ways to get the most out of church, when these five things are at play, that my faith is getting stronger and that my walk with God is growing. And if one or two of them begin to dip a little bit, I always like to keep on the alert because I know that being part of a local church, it's not everything in your faith, but it is important. Big amen on that. Amen. Hear me. It's not everything. A lot of people encounter God, hear the message of Jesus before ever coming into church. And we know that that's a vital piece of life's journey. But I can encourage you that the local church can be a great blessing in your life. One of my catchphrases I like to say is the voices in your life determine the vision for your life. And it's amazing that if we get in the right environment, what God can do, somebody. And we may be the right environment for you. And if so, welcome. I hope that we are. But if not, I know God has a right environment for this leg of your journey, somebody. All right. But if it is your first time, you don't know this, but you're about to find out. I always like to share something funny. So I want to share something funny with you. And when I say something funny, you need to not, you know, hold me to account on that. Hold that loosely, because there's a good chance it's just funny to me. All right. Today I came prepared like a well-oiled machine. You get two for the price of one today, somebody. Yeah. The expectancy is growing. All right. Let me pop that humor balloon real quick. All right. I heard about this teenager just gotten his driver's license. You remember that, y'all? Just gotten his driver's license. He asked his dad if he could borrow the car. His dad said, "Son, I'll make a deal with you. If you bring your grades up, you read your Bible every day, and cut your hair, you can borrow the car." A month later, he came back, asked about it, and his dad said, "Well, son, you've brought up your grades. You've been reading your Bible, but you still haven't cut your hair." He said, "Dad, I've been thinking about it. Moses had long hair. Samson had long hair. Even Jesus Christ himself is known to have had long hair." And Dad said, "Yes, son." And they walked everywhere they went. All right. All right. I heard about this couple who had been married for 60 years, never had an argument, never had a cross word with one another. They were at a church function. Someone asked them the secret to their success. The man told how he had always treated his wife with respect, how he always took her on fancy trips around the world. He said, "In fact, for our 25th wedding anniversary, I took her to Beijing, China." Everyone politely applauded, sitting in awe. Someone said, "What did you do for your 50th wedding anniversary?" He said, "I went back and picked her up." Oh, man. Should have stuck with one. Should have stuck with one. I know it. I know it. All right. Here we go. All right. Let's buckle up. Let's open our Bible, try to redeem what is happening. I'm excited. Five things. Everybody say five things. Five things. Five things. Five things to get the most out of church. We are on part number three, Sunday number three, in a five-part series. First week, we talked about attending a local church. It's critical in our life's walk, critical. And I know that experiences, I know that weekends, evidently, if you heard my transition, I know summer's come up, everybody. But what I want to encourage you is, over the long narrative, so to speak, the long arc of your life, I believe that you'll be able to look back with great encouragement as you finish well with your time on earth if you've been attending a local church. I know that the local church isn't perfect, but I pray it is healthy and as healthy as it possibly can be. That's what we work towards here at Hillside. We're always learning, always growing, and we thank you for your grace. And we do believe in that significant moment where you attend, you begin attending, get connected and growing in your faith. That was week number one. Week number two, last week, I talked about giving, how when we practice generosity in the local church, something supernatural begins to happen. Well, today I want to talk about another significant piece, another number of those five, and that is serving. Serving. The power of serve. And serving in the local church, for sure. But here's the good thing. If you're one and done, it's your first time, you're in and you're out. Here's the deal. I hope you'll hear in this message that going forward in your personal life, if you can position your heart and position your hand to serving, you will see yourself stepping into the kingdom of the heavens, the kingdom of God. And what I mean by that is not just in eternity. I mean, you'll begin to experience life in some profound ways. The kingdom of God moves forward by the willing heart and the willing hand of its people. It just does. It makes such a difference in our lives. And many of you, we have an incredible, incredible, what we call here, our dream team that serves and makes a difference in so many lives. And my story today, I had referenced Matthew chapter 20. We may get there. The place I really want you to go is Mark. Just a few pages over, Mark chapter 2. I want to share a gospel story, one of the stories of Jesus. Powerful story, a miracle story, but I also want to see it in the framework of serving, this dimension, this dynamic, this practice that I believe will help grow your faith, and also, don't forget that byline, help you to get the most out of attending, of giving, and serving within the local church. So, Mark chapter 2. There before me, Mark chapter 2. Wonderful story. It's entitled, Jesus Heals a Paralytic. That draws us in even of itself. In reality, it could have been Friends of a Friend. That could also have been the title. Friends of a Friend Who Broke Through a Roof for Their Friend would also be an adequate title. In the Chosen series, this is one of my favorite scenes, seeing that play out. Friends of a Friend making a difference. And for me, it gives a great picture of what serving can do in the life of another. So let's read the story here. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. Capernaum was Jesus' ground zero for his ministry. And so he would go out teaching, ministering, preaching, healing people, moving the kingdom of God forward, and then he'd come home. And so he'd come home, and they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith. Everybody say their faith. Their faith. He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Lord, let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Father, I thank you for reviving our hearts and our minds with the goodness of God, the radical nature of your gospel. And Lord, would you set our hearts on fire for your kingdom? And thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I love this picture. It's one of the stories, one of the statements of Jesus where he is just a master. Yes, he's preaching the word. This isn't a parable. This is the outplaying of his ministry. People are desperate for a touch from God. So desperate that they carry a friend. And here's what's radical. You can almost think to yourself, the friend may have been a little reluctant. The friend may have been a little, I don't know about all that. And the friends didn't seem to care because they knew the power of God displayed in the person of Jesus. And the friends, it appears, had a greater desperation than even the man himself. Because as we saw in verse 4, here's the radical nature of it. When Jesus saw their faith, he looked at the man and said, "Your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and let's go." Remarkable nature of the kingdom of God. You are surrounded with people in this room and hopefully in your life who, because of their faith, you're going to encounter the goodness of God. Because on your down days, and you will have them, you've got a friend that is committed to God and committed to you. The nature of a Sunday morning, the nature of the Saturday outreach team, the nature of any one of our ministries is exemplified, I believe, in this passage. That prayer, preparation, planning goes in to everything we do. And it's pulled off by people who are serving. Bob Dylan wrote a pretty good song. You gotta serve somebody. And as we grow in our relationship with God, I believe in time, hear me, in time, as we get healthier, as we become more whole, can I tell you, God begins to do a great work in us, and here it is, through us, to transform the lives of others in our life. It's remarkable that God would use us. Do you ever stop and think about that? Like, he had options and he chose you. Come on. Turn to your neighbor really confidently now and say, "He chose you." All right? He chose you. Turn to your second choice and say, "He also chose you." Okay? All right, go ahead. Y'all weren't ready for that. Listen, I want you to hear that God chose you. I want you to think that you are somebody's difference maker. I believe this about you. I believe this about you. That you would be one of the friends. I do believe that. That you'd be one of the friends. Now, I don't know which one of the friends you would be. You know, I think sometimes we're serving with a little bit of faith. We're kind of like, yeah. You know, you ever see those videos of people helping move and the one guy's just like tapping the couch? Let's get it. You may be that guy, you know, and then there's the other friend who's like basically carrying the man and the rest are trying to catch up, you know. It's like, oh, he's in his 20s. Let's use him. And it's all right, so maybe that's going on. You know? And it's that I don't know, maybe you're all in, or maybe just a little bit of serving. A little bit of serving. Can I tell you, irrespective, it's making a marked difference in somebody's life. Your heart is postured to be a vessel. And can I tell you, one of the astounding realities of the kingdom of heaven is Jesus says you don't have to have a doctorate to serve. Jesus says you could be in the wrong career and start serving. You may not even know God's will for your life, but by golly, you could start serving. You may have come to the faith 5 minutes ago. You can start serving. That posture, that heart, that hand, you can start making a difference in other people's lives. It's remarkable that Jesus sees such potential within us. There's no doubt that the disciples themselves would have wrestled through some insecurities. You know, I think of Matthew, the tax collector, who would have been despised by all the other disciples. Why would he have been despised? Because he had forsaken the covenant tradition in the Jewish culture by becoming a tax collector. And we all love tax collectors. But it was 100-fold worse back then. It was incredible. Incredible. And you can imagine even him having to push through the insecurities. And here's what begins to happen is we grow in our understanding that we are the beloved of God. It's somehow in our life story, he did not cause all things to happen, but he can work all things together for good. I think of Chuck Colson. If you ever read his political life, you got some questions. But his life was radically changed by Jesus of Nazareth. He encountered the risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on his darkest day, God met him behind bars and choreographed that divine setup that he would be so transformed and fuel a ministry to those behind bars. I think about that, a willing vessel pushing through the insecurities of sin and sin cycles and just surrendering a willing heart. Think about lives that have been transformed, and who knows what's ahead for you as you begin to grow in the realm of serving. It's remarkable. I think about just an acronym, S-E-R-V. I don't often use acronyms in the message, but this came to me. I thought this was really, really good, if I don't mind saying so myself. So the acronym SERVE, S-E-R-V-E. I think about that first S, sacrifice. Serving takes sacrifice. Some of you feeling it more than others this morning. Serving takes sacrifice. Whether in the local church or out of the local church, wherever you begin to step up and give time and talent away, can I tell you, it comes with a cost. It comes with a cost. Now, I'll boldly declare, I believe that cost is worth it, but some days I'm not so sure. But over time, I have learned that reality that God is always drawn to sacrifice. Many of us know the story of King Solomon when God visited him in a dream and said, hey, what you want? And Solomon cried out, wisdom, give me wisdom. Profound moment. Do you know that's on the heels of the largest sacrifice ever in the history of Israel? Can I tell you, I don't know what's ahead for you, but in the sacrifice of serving, I know that God will meet you in that place. It could be a loved one coming to Christ. Could be a friend coming to Christ. You begin to prepare a room, prepare an environment. It's remarkable what God can not only do to you, but begin to do through you. That's an important S, and I bring it at the beginning, one, because it goes with the letter S, but two, because in many ways, that's the beginning of serving. There's usually a honeymoon period, and that lasts about 5 minutes, and then the rest of the time, you realize, oh my goodness, so I got to be there early. I got to try to smile. Those are two things I did not know should happen before my lunch, but they are important. It costs us something. It costs us something. These men counted the cost. They sacrificed, went to pick up the paralyzed man. Somewhere between picking him up and carrying him, the crowd became too much. They didn't bat an eye. They sacrificed their convenience and went to the rooftop and dug through. I'm convinced that was an oldest child who made that decision. And I'm a youngest child. I helped. There was a leader on the scene who sacrificed. That somewhere, you know, I don't know about you, but there just sometimes where I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, looks like the crowd's a little big. There's always tomorrow. But somewhere in that moment, in the sacrifice, it continued to seep into their heart that, hey, I got a thought let's go to the, let's wind our way up to the roof. And, you know, we know Jesus is very patient. I don't think he's going to mind a little bit of dirt, a little bit of straw interrupting his teaching. And, you know, so they just begin kind of carving away, maybe little WWE moves, get through that roof and lower their friend. And I want you to see, in one moment, all their sacrifice was worth it. Jesus healed. Jesus made whole. In our sacrifice, can I tell you, in one moment, everything can change. But it takes vessels to get people to that space. It takes vessels to get people to that place. Sacrifice is a great piece to that puzzle. I think of the second letter, E, empathy. Empathy is such an important piece. I don't want to camp out on empathy. And can I just set you free right now? Just set you free. You ain't got enough empathy for everybody in the room. So let it go. Sometimes we just get exhausted because we're trying to have empathy for everybody. That ain't biblical. You're welcome. That set you free right there. But empathy, when God is putting it on your heart, that's the empathy I want you to chase down with everything you got. That's the empathy. That's the empathy we want to be, is we want to walk in a way that we're willing to sacrifice and we're drawn to a situation. We're drawn to a circumstance. We're drawn to give of our talents. I can tell you, praise God for the worship team that led us in song. Because there are others of us, you would not want you being led in song. Like, we're drawn to the gates of heaven. So others of us might draw us to the gates of other places. You know what I mean? And I'm glad for the empathy of those who serve and give of their time and give of their talent. Because they know that one moment in God's presence can transform everything in a life. One line that has been prepared, we maybe needed to sing more than any other today. Great things, great things, great things. Maybe it's this thought that it's been nothing but bad things, but God, by faith, I'm taking that ground. Great things are ahead. Well, how does that happen? People who got here early, prepared, planned, prayed. Why? Empathy would have been on the scene. Empathy. We all know the pain that the enemy brings. We all know the sting of rejection. We all know the taste of sin cycles. We all know what it's like to be bound and broken and so depressed and disappointed. We don't know if life's worth living. We can empathize with the difficulty. Jesus empathizes with the difficulty. That's why in Matthew chapter 20, he would instruct his disciples as they're having an argument that was started by a mom who wanted her two sons to sit at Jesus' right hand and left hand in the coming age to come. And they had a conversation, and the disciples, the other 10 of them, got really upset with James and John, annoyed. Man, what's your mom doing? Why are you guys all about this? And Jesus entered the argument and said, hey, it's not about sitting at my right hand and my left hand. It's not about power. It's not about gaining influence or followers or your social online presence. It's about understanding that the order I am bringing is to set the world back in order. And it's fueled by love, and that love is expressed by serving. And Jesus would say, he would drop a bomb. He would reveal to them the kingdom of God, the economy of God, that says, look, you can look at the Gentiles, you can look at the Romans, you can even look at some of the leaders, and they lord their authority over you. Not so with me. As the Son of Man, I have come to serve, not be served. Radically changing their mindset, radically changing their perspective, and dare I say, radically addressing the nature of their heart and my heart at the same time. We want to be drawn to Jesus. Never lose sight that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords served on behalf of us. He sacrificed. He had empathy. He our response. There was a response. These friends as well, when I think about this, they were driven to respond. That's why, just being honest, we have limitations. Whereas God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit do not have limitations. They can care for everybody. We want to do our best. We want to understand and serve as much as we can, but we don't want to lack self-care. But the reality is that God is ultimately the one we are bringing people towards. Amen? And so we want to obey when he prompts our heart. We want to walk in empathy. But that empathy, here's the deal. Empathy must always be coupled with a response. How many of you know good intentions have the capability of going nowhere? I mean, it only takes being in Planet Fitness for half a year to know good intentions sometimes go nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, we can have good intentions, and that's great. I want you to have good intentions, but it's coupled with a response. Like, could you imagine how the story went? Well, there almost was a paralytic that was healed. His four friends, they sacrificed, they had empathy, but at the end of the day, he was too heavy. They walked away. You know, it's like, what? The untold gospel. No, I'm kidding. All right, so these guys come, and can I tell you, they were drawn. They had a response. I thank God for your response in the kingdom of God. For some of you, I thank God for the response that where you sit right now, the responses that were, that you have responded, that you have stepped out, that you have sacrificed. Can I tell you, heaven is going to be full of people that the seed of your response brought great fruit in their life. Seed you may never see. You may have encountered somebody one time, got to pray for them, got to give them an encouraging word, prayed for them, spoke a word of life to them, and then just kind of moved rapidly along, and so did they. But can I tell you, God sees it, and God would have used that moment to be a vessel, a response that could transform somebody's life. We get caught up sometimes in the results. And Jesus never said, get caught up in the results. He just said, serve. Leave the rest to me. So anybody kind of stuck in that lag of results, been there, probably be there again. Don't worry. Be faithful in the waiting. Be faithful in the waiting. And let's see what God will do. Amen. Let's see what God will do. I'm convinced Paul in Galatians 6:9 was telling the truth when he said, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you'll reap a harvest. It's remarkable. It's remarkable as we continue serving and loving and vision. It's an important piece of the serving. Some visions are that tangible. Like you waking up ready to serve. Why? Because the people are in your house. Like you waking up. Guess I'm going to serve today. There's those moments. But the vision is before you. The vision is before you. These friends of the paralytic could see, and they kept that before them. Can I encourage you? One of the preventative pieces to burnout, whether in a local church or in your workplace, is to know the why behind what you do. Nothing can convict me quicker at times than the why behind what I do. Am I doing that to be seen? Whew, I don't want to confess how many times I get that in my... Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Am I doing it to be recognized? Am I doing it to be known? Am I doing it to create results? I want to take control of this. Or can I just serve in the hidden space? Can I really pray for people by closing the door behind me and just leaving it between God and me, like Jesus in Matthew 6 says? Sometimes I can. Sometimes I can't. But I'm a good work in process, somebody. And God is faithful to do his work in you as well. And I want to encourage you, keep the vision before you. Write it down. The Word of God says, write your vision down. Write it down. But continue to hold on to those promises. Amen. Continue to encourage those words. Continue to speak words of life, speak words of hope. Keeping that vision before us can transform. That's what I love on a Sunday morning. I love in small groups. I'm just so enthused by stories of life change. That's where it's at in the kingdom, isn't it? Life change is what fuels us as a church, reaching people, building lives. For eight years now, we've been convinced that Jesus is the best news possible, that there is forgiveness. And then sometimes people are like, well, hang on. Here's my story. Jesus is forgiveness. Come meet the one who keeps no record of wrongs. Come meet the God who is profoundly generous with second chances, keeping the vision before us. And then that final E, encounter. We want them led to an encounter. And here's the thing about encounter. Let me just fuel your faith. The encounter is not your responsibility. Last time I checked, I can't save people. Last time I checked on you, not that I ever did, but you can't save people. We are vessels that carry people to the cross of Calvary. We are ones who pronounce the good news of the blood of Jesus. We're the ones who look into people so bound, so broken, so depressed and disappointed, so clogged up in their mind and heart by their past failures and their sins. And we look at them and say, psst, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Why can we walk in that boldness? It's what Jesus told for us to do. But he's the one who forgives sins. Amen? We're just the messengers, ultimately. I want to close with a short video by one of our incredible team members. Then I'll highlight our offering, and then we'll be done. Let's watch this video together.
So I was looking for a church where I felt like I could connect and feel a part of the congregation, a part of the body of Christ, and I found Hillside. I came for a couple Sundays and happened to just come in as Growth Track was just about to start. So I joined that, went through the full Growth Track, and from there was able to connect with Kelly and Elena. And doing that, I was able to come on to the worship team. That has been the greatest blessing for me in my journey of trying to find where I kind of fit within the church. Being able to make connections with Lauren and Elena and Lori and just feel like I was contributing to my church in some way. But with that, you know, I've grown up in the church and I've felt churches pouring into me my whole life. And the same could be said here at Hillside, that I felt so much like Hillside was pouring into me and helping me to walk with Christ and come into relationship with Christ. But being able to serve on the worship team and be a part of that has allowed me to pour back into my church. And genuinely, it's filled a place in me that I didn't know that I needed filled. I didn't realize was missing. And it's just been such a blessing to me in my life and helping me to be a good example for my son and my family. I'm Anna Kane, and I'm so thankful to be part of my local church.